As we listen to the scriptures this morning, we are reminded that God provides us leaders to help us grow in our faith and to mature in faith, but that we must also carefully discern who the best leaders are to follow. For we heard the warning in the Old Testament reading about being sure that the people we were following are the right people that speak for God. And as we look at these two scriptures, old and new, we see two different types of leaders, a prophet and a teacher. The first, Moses, is a prophet, and a prophet is a spokesperson for God. They give that word of God to the people. And in this particular case, he was telling the people what to believe and how to respond in faith. Now, later prophets would speak some hard truths, and they wouldn't always be leaders. But in this case, Moses was both a prophet and a leader. And in the scripture we read today, he was preparing his community for the fact that there would be another leader to follow him. Then we have Jesus, and Jesus is more of a teaching style. And in our story, he had just called the first disciples. So Simon, Andrew, James, and John were with him at this first act of Jesus to drive out an evil spirit. So they've said, okay, I'm going to follow you, and the first thing they see is this evil spirit being driven out of a person. And after where our reading ended, there you continue to see Jesus do healing after healing, and he gives instruction to the disciples, and at one point he even says, hey, you guys got this. Go out and do this for a little bit. Come back. We'll see how it goes. So Jesus still spoke prophetic words, but teaching was at the heart of his leadership style. Now, both leadership styles were given by God, but there are some challenges when we as a people choose to follow the Moses-like leader today. So just a reminder about Moses. So Moses had freed the Israelites from Moses freed the Israelites from slavery in an amazing prophetic showdown with the Pharaoh. And he led the people out into the desert where they wandered around for 40 years before reaching the promised land. Now keep in mind, 40 years is about the life expectancy of people at that time. But the survival of Moses' people depended on his absolute authority. Now, he did develop a leadership system to help with governing the people, but yet, despite the fact that the people were no longer slaves and they had this freedom, they kept turning away from God, and there were just disastrous results every time they did it. So the people of Moses kind of gave up. They wanted a leader to tell them what to do. They didn't want to have to think about what's right, what's wrong, and they didn't want to have to worry about some articulated vision. Basically, they just wanted to coast. They didn't want to have a close, possibly life-changing experience with God. So even though Moses was a great prophetic leader, the people did not want to work hard to follow him and to follow God. So instead, God gave the people what they wanted and needed at that time. They wanted someone to speak to God for them and to take minimal responsibility for their faith. However, this type of leadership for a long period of time can slow the maturing of our faith. One of my favorite Monty Python movies is The Life of Brian. Yes, I can hear who has seen that movie. I hear the giggles. Throughout the movie, people keep mistaking Brian for the Messiah. So Brian is talking over here, and the Messiah is over here, and people just get confused. They're close, and they keep trying to follow Brian. So one morning, Brian gets up, and he decides to get a breath of fresh air, and he opens up the shutters, and there the courtyard is full of people. And he freaks, and he kind of gets out of the window, and his mother pushes him back in and wants him to speak to the people. And so he stands there and says, "You don't need to follow me. You don't need to follow anybody. You've got to think for yourselves. You're all individuals." The crowd, looking at him in adoration, responds in perfect unison, "Yes. We're all individuals." Now, Brian realizes they have not got the point, so he tries again. You're all different. And they say, yes, we're all different. He thinks, well, maybe one more time they're going to get it. He says, you've got to work it out for yourselves. And they reply, yes, we've all got to work it out for ourselves. Brian's following proved over and over again, they just wanted to follow someone. They didn't want to actually have their lives transformed by the experience. When we choose to act like the Israelites, abdicating our responsibility for our faith, we run into the danger of following a religious dictator and lose opportunities for us to grow in faith. When we do this, we could end up being as homogeneous and immature as the followers of Brian. Now, Jesus, however, was a very different leader than Moses, and their followers were also very different. The disciples wanted to encounter God for themselves, and they learned by how Jesus shared the message with them throughout his lifetime. And besides that, Jesus empowered them not only to be his followers, but to be leaders in their own right. As we observe the relationship of Jesus with the disciples, we learn about our relationship with Christ and our Christian leaders as well. You see, leaders help us to grow when we make mistakes. And no, Pastor David did not purposely make a mistake today just for the sermon. You see, the disciples were far from perfect. They made their share of mistakes. They asked some really dumb questions. They fought over who was the greatest disciple. That's not the point. And at the very end, they even denied knowing Jesus. Yet despite this, Jesus trusted them enough to share the good news of God's redeeming grace. You see, our leaders help us grow when we make mistakes. For those of you who don't know, I'm an extrovert. I am very extrovert. See, they know. I'm an extrovert. So this means I process information out loud until I reach a conclusion. Now, those that are introverts do all that processing internally and then give the final results out. And that takes a lot of energy for them. Meanwhile, us extroverts, we just feed off of this talking out loud thing. So I was in my church as an intern during seminary, and I learned how being an extroverted leader could be problematic. So I was discussing ministry ideas with one of the choir members, and I was just being my extroverted self, just kind of rambling through some ideas. I thought we were brainstorming. My choir member did not think we were brainstorming. She thought everything that I said was the gospel truth, and that's what we were going to do. She freaked out. She runs to the senior pastor and is just like, oh my gosh, what is the intern going to do to the church? So Pastor Justin calls me in his office and says, honey, what happened? And so we went through what had gone on, and he's like, well, what did you learn? So that's the key point. When you make a mistake, you need to learn from it. And so I learned some lessons that I still take with me. So I have learned that if I need to process out loud, that I need to have a disclaimer at the front that says something like, here are some thoughts I have, but these aren't set in stone. Or I might say, hey, I'm trying to figure this out. Can you listen to me and give me some feedback? That way the parishioner that I'm talking to or the staff person knows that I'm just trying to get from point A to point B. Or if I'm with a person that just cannot handle that kind of conversation, then I need to respect that and not process with them in that way. And the last thing I learned, and this is the one that's always the hardest for most of us, I need to think before I speak. Yeah, that's a tough one. So making mistakes and learning from them has helped me to be a better leader. The disciples learned from their mistakes, and they grew stronger in their faith. But we also have that same opportunity to make mistakes or fail and take the time to learn from them what went wrong. Leaders also help us grow when they encourage us to think for ourselves. The disciples did not blindly follow Jesus. They would ask questions, and at times they even doubted his ability. But like a good leader, Jesus encouraged them to think for themselves. So who is it that you follow? Who's your leader? Do you follow the president or other politicians? The leader of your community or school? Do you follow the leader of an organization to which you belong? Or is it the leader of your small group? Or maybe the person you follow is a personal mentor or a close friend. I follow several people. I follow Pastor David. I trust his vision and wisdom and guidance. I follow our Bishop Gregory Palmer, who is the Bishop of the West Ohio Conference. He is a man of deep faith and profound wisdom and well-respected within our denomination. If he asked me to step out of my comfort zone and try something new, I would do it for our bishop. And Pastor Justin is still in my life. He still serves as my mentor and offers words of comfort and guidance when needed. My parents and my in-laws and my close friends also at times serve as my leaders. Now, I don't follow these persons blindly. Now, I will privately question Pastor David. If I do not understand where he's going, I'll keep doing that extrovert thing until I figure out what he is talking about so that I can follow him to the best of my ability. And if our bishop, well, if he started to do things that were not in line with who we are as United Methodists, I would have a struggle to follow him, and I would have to ask more questions about what was happening. So when we follow leaders, we listen to their guidance, but we also need to have a healthy personal devotional life to allow us to stay connected to Christ. When we have that devotional life, it helps us to be sure that the advice we are given from our leaders also resonates with our study and our experience of the Holy Spirit. So how is it that we don't just blindly follow our leaders? We ask questions. We clarify what is being taught or shared. Sometimes we might even say to the choir director, I don't understand what you're doing. I'd like to play the organ this way. You know, it's okay to question. It is okay to question, right? Okay. And it's okay to question and ask so that we understand where we're going. And what happens when you do that is the leader becomes stronger. So if I question how Ben is singing, he would give me an explanation, and he might be like, oh, I might want to change that. Or he could say, no, I'm really sure this is definitely the way I go. Thank you for making me clear on that direction. So you can go either way, and it helps your leader even when you ask those questions. Sorry, thank you for letting me pick on you, Ben. David left, so I had to pick on somebody. Another way that we make sure we don't blindly follow our leaders is to study, to be in the Word of God, and to spend time listening to the Holy Spirit moving as we read Scripture. But we don't just stop with Scripture. We read from other theologians and hear how they have interpreted and understand living out our faith. Now, if you're the kind of person who's like, I don't read books, that's okay. You can go to websites and kind of peruse a website, watch YouTube videos. You can listen to podcasts. There are thousands of ways to connect to our theologians. But please be sure, as you do that, don't listen blindly. And find a good one, one or two that you can follow that will help enhance your faith. Another way that we don't blindly follow our leaders is to be a part of a small group, because small groups kind of check and balance us. If we think, I need to be going this direction, our small group might say, you are way out of whack, or yeah, that's right. When I was serving at Westwood, I was part of the discipleship team, and we decided, the chair and I decided that we wanted to do Life Tree Cafe. Life Tree Cafe is a coffee house style study slash worship experience put out by Group Publishing. We thought this was the best thing ever. We were so excited. But then we looked at each other and realized we're both raging extroverts, and we might be off track. So we took the information back to the team and said, we have this great idea, but we really need you to take a look at it. So they took the information and they prayed and they discerned and came back. Now, there's one gentleman on that committee that if you did his Myers-Briggs, he's the complete opposite of me. And I put him on that team because he's the complete opposite of me. And he is the one that would reel us in when the chair and I would go off on crazy tangents. So we come back, and asked the group, what do you think? And this gentleman's like, let's do it. This is great. And I was like, oh, we found something. This is awesome. Because the entire group heard the Spirit moving in the same way. And so the leaders could go forward and start Life Tree Cafe, which is now in its sixth year. So we need those small groups to help us discern if we are following the right leaders and that we are doing it in a healthy way. We have to choose wisely whom we will follow, not following them blindly, but listening for the prompting and guidance of the Holy Spirit in those relationships. Both Moses and Jesus also expected that their followers would also be leaders. So Moses had put a system in place for solving problems. They had a small group with a leader over it, and then there was a leader over those leaders, and so forth and so on, and kind of this hierarchical chart. And the part that we were reading today explains some more of how that all was structured and how they were preparing for Moses not being there. But Jesus also did the same kind of thing. He expected the disciples to become leaders after his death, and they rose to the challenge. Now, the majority of those apostles were martyred, but before that happened, we think they went to all of these places. Rome, Russia, Syria, India, North Africa, Asia Minor, Persia, Ethiopia, and Southern Arabia. And one disciple, John, had a little different calling because he went to Ephesus and he cared for Mary, the mother of Jesus. And eventually he was exiled and he wrote the book of Revelation while he was exiled on Patmos. You see, the disciples learned from their mistakes and they were able to follow the teaching of Jesus. Because they had paid attention and closely followed him, they were able to be leaders after the resurrection. Their leadership helped to spread the gospel throughout the Mediterranean and beyond. And even though they all died in these martyred ways, by that point, the gospel had taken root and began to spread all over the world. So last week, I was walking around the atrium, checking things out, looking to see if we had any guests, sort of watching who was talking where and the groups. And I looked over, and there was one of our faith climber leaders. Now, faith climbers for our ministry for fifth and sixth graders. And he was leaning over one of the cafe tables, and there were three boys standing there. They were all completely engrossed in conversation. Now, that gentleman has agreed to lead them in class and in events, not in the middle of the atrium, but he takes his leadership seriously and his relationship with those boys. But not only is he a leader, he's a follower. Because Diana Sheely is the one who runs our children's ministry. And he submits to her authority and he helps her to vision and he follows the vision that she is articulating and he will do what she asks of him and beyond. But do you see this pattern? So Diana is mentoring her leaders and leading them, and then her leaders are building new leaders. And those leaders will someday build more leaders. It's an never-ending, wonderful cycle. So when we choose the right leaders to follow, we too will end up being a leader for others. And it may be just a couple, or it may be a couple hundred. It's whatever God has called you to do. So God provides us leaders to help us grow in faith and maturity, and we must carefully discern the best leaders to follow. So choose a leader that allows you to have your own relationship with Christ and not keep God at a distance. Know that it's okay to make mistakes. Mistakes help us and our leaders grow. David, I'm sure, is going to Google oysters and clams before he does anything on that again. He's going to learn from his mistake. We all do. Don't blindly follow your leaders. Remember to think for yourselves. And a good leader will help us to become an even better leader over small or great things. So I have a challenge for you this week. I want you to go home and write down, who do you follow? Who are your leaders? They may be public figures that you've never met, but you still follow them. It may be personal, someone that you directly work with. But write down that list and take a look at them. Are these people worthy of you following them? Are they doing their best to live their lives in a Christ-like manner? Now, our leaders are not perfect. Don't expect them to be perfect, but are they doing their best to follow Christ? Because that's a leader worth following. And the second part of this challenge is, where are you supposed to be a leader? Where is God calling you in ministry? Are you called to ramp up something you're already doing, or is God calling you to a new place? Is God saying, I think I want to go hang out with the faith climbers, or the youth, or sing with the choir, or. So who are you following? Who are you leading? Because that is the way that God has taught us to be, to constantly grow, to help others grow. We are a community, and we are a community when we are best, we are at our best as a community when we are following good leaders and empowering good leaders and making more leaders as well. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the leaders in our lives. Please continue to guide them and help them grow in their relationship to you. Generous one, open our eyes to the places which you are calling us to lead, and allow us to be faithful leaders in your name. Amen.